there's this prophecy that came on, I think was the prayer center in Tulsa. And I don't know when it was. Recently, though. And it was about, and it goes for this church, too. And it's a lookout across the congregation. You know, I don't see the mayor here. I don't see the governor or anybody in high places here. But the Lord says, Jesus says, for who's here and who's been walking this walk and who's been faithful to just keep on keeping on, no matter how the enemy stands us down, you know. Because he'll stand us down if he can, you know. And I can give you a little bit about myself over the last 10 years. I just got my Tribe of Judah 10-year thing last year, and Marcia just got hers this year. So 10 years, you know, and you think, you know, what happened in 10 years, you know, and we've been here for over 10 years, and or just close to, you know, right around that. But we wonder, you know, what all took place, you know, and you think in the past, you know, we think back, you know, what we lost, you know, and or what we haven't, don't see a lot of changes, you know, because I really believe we're walking into a new season here. We're walking into an area of the promised land right now. I mean, there's really no doubt about it, because like the wilderness area, you know, we were all doing the same thing. You know, I mean, we were doing the seven limbs, you know, I mean, preparing ourselves for promised land victories, you know. And one of the greatest things about that is what I've really learned, even through Pastor Ben Priest from the Tribe of Judah, and I learned it from Pastor here too, over all the years, just the wait on God, you know, just to wait on Him. And, you know, in doing all that, you know, things I've went through in, you know, my life with my kids and that, you know, but see, in the Spirit and with God, I reclaim my kids, see. I reclaimed them. And just stood on the word, no matter if I would have never been able to raise them at all anyway, it wouldn't have changed my heart. But see, like today, for instance, I can just say that, you know, in the Spirit, a father can claim his daughter or his son's back. And I'm saying that to anybody here, you know, or if you have lost loved ones, we have every right and we have the authority as being born again believers to claim them back. If they never do actually live with us, we claim them back in the Spirit. And I have a little bit more fruit of that, you know, today. I have one that I've, you know, I always wanted to raise my kids. And just through a lot of different circumstances and situations, it never came about that way until, you know, almost growing up. But I can say today, I claimed my daughter back, see. By standing on the Word of God, and by speaking the Word of God, and by just trusting Him in a simple little way that, you know, that I know how to do, you know. You know, and I gained daughters out of this situation. I mean, Melody's my own, by her choice. Oh, I'm kind of a mess up here, but... See, a lot of times we look through a glass darkly, you know, because we haven't seen the things that are coming. But the things are coming, man. Everything that this church has talked about and spoke and confessed on Friday nights and every other night, and every word that goes out does not turn to our Father void. It cannot. It absolutely cannot. Even tonight when the power wasn't on, you know, I was just like, well, just pray and the power will be back on. And, you know, it was really that simple. I mean, it really, really was. And never gave it much thought until the power came back on. But it really is that simple. See, because our words are all authority. Our words are all authority. So we, you know, James says we're either speaking life or we're speaking death, you see, with our words. And see, the more accountable we become to our Lord by our own free will choice, our words become powerful, much more powerful day in, day out. So he can't just rush us into the promised land right now, even though that we're in there right now. Because haven't you noticed you're doing more things now? I mean, the Lord's kind of calling us to do some things instead of always just praying. And the praying is going to increase. It's not going to decrease. That's going to increase. But as we love the Lord and as we love him, we're going to pray more. I mean, because the more that we get to know who he is, our ways and our thoughts and our things just go to the wayside. Our ambitions become nothing no more. And his ambitions become everything, you know. And, you know, even with Pastor Homer, you know, I've known him since I've been here. And I've watched him grow and I've watched him struggle and I've watched him be very, very transparent. You know, and I really appreciate that about him, his transparency. It's a reflection of our Lord's transparency and humility and in truth and in righteousness and in integrity, you know. And that's who we are. We walk in righteousness, we walk in integrity, and we walk in truth, you know. Not saying that any of us do it perfect, because we don't. You know, then the enemy would come along and try to convince us that we're not worthy or we're not valuable to the Father. But we're everything to him. We are everything to him. He didn't create us just for a time span, you know, this 80 to 100 years or whatever we're going to live on this earth until he returns. He didn't create us for the short time span. He created us for eternity. So we can spend eternity with him. I mean, that's why he created us. I mean, for eternity. And I can't even fathom eternity, but that's the truth of it. It's not just for this little blink of an eye that we're in right now. But during this time is the time that we have as individuals and corporately to serve the Lord and to just surrender to his will and just continue to do the things we do. And we are. We've stepped across something here. I really know we have. I mean, I can tell in my own life there's some things that changed. There's more things. There's going to be a lot more things to do. You know, when we're in the promised land, there's lands to take. There's things to occupy. There's things to take. And we're in that place right now. We really are. And then what does that require out of us? I mean, it requires more prayer time probably, you know, and more humility and more time spent with him, because we really can't do nothing of ourselves. We really know that. I mean, this church sure knows that, and everybody here. I mean, can't do anything of my own, you know. I can try, and the things that I do in the flesh are vain. I mean, they're very short-lived, and you know, and I can always tell because the moods change and attitudes kind of change. You can tell when you're kind of walking after your own will. It doesn't take too long to see that sometimes. But I was also mentioning, just what I was mentioning now, 10 years, you know, with caterpillar, the locust or the palmer worm, the canker worm, what they've stolen out of our lives, you know.
It's like, well, how do you redeem the time? Tim Stemple has something out on this, and I've been listening to it, and I love Tim and Leah a lot. They're out of the Tulsa. Tim's actually the administrator over there. But I've got to know those guys years ago when I went to some of the conferences, and this one here just really touched my heart in different ways. So what I'm speaking of tonight, redeeming the time, is Tim Stemple's, and it's on Dave Roberson, so if you want to go and listen to it, it's really excellent. And there's some scriptures I just want to read about redeeming the time. It says in Ephesians, you don't have to turn to it, I'm going to read a couple real quickly, but you can. It's Ephesians 5:16. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then Colossians 4:5. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You know, how do we redeem the time? In the Spirit, nothing is impossible, the Lord says. With Him, nothing is impossible. And then John 5:19 says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 20 is, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Tim was saying that that's a foundation, foundational, that John 5 is really a foundation for redeeming the time. And then verse 30, John 30 says, I can of my own self do nothing, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. So Jesus, our perfect prototype, he did nothing without the Father's voice, without spending some time. He did nothing on His own, nothing out of His flesh. He is the perfect prototype for redeeming the time, because He redeemed the time. It took maybe 2,000 years for Him to come back. That seems like, wow, why did it take so long? Why did it take so many years? Why did it take so long, Lord? I've asked that question. Why couldn't it have been quicker? You know? And a lot of it was by choice. I mean, free will of man, and God is no liar. When He gave man free will, I mean, things had to be walked out too. But when Jesus came back, I mean, the cornerstone, I mean, like Tim said, this is a cornerstone of redeeming the time. Verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And this is Jesus talking. This is in red. And as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own, but the will of the Father which has sent me. The devil really has three goals. I mean, he's got a bunch of little goals, but a top three maybe. Comes to steal our time, right? I mean, we all know that. I mean, I'm speaking for myself, but my time gets stolen from me a lot. So that bothers me sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, geez, Lord, 10 years already, Lord, been here? I don't see, in the natural, I don't see a whole lot of difference. But see, that doesn't affect me anymore because of the peace that walking these things out and doing the seven, you know, limbs or whatever you want to call them, you know, praying in tongues and spending the time with the Lord. Worshiping is a major, major one. Fastings and, you know, just the things that we do, you know, and been able to do them. I don't know how consistently, but been faithful to do them for 10 years, I mean, basically. But the peace level that comes with all that. So the flesh, when it tries to have a voice on any of the things that we haven't seen yet or looking at an empty church sometimes is, pastor does, you know, day in and day out, it doesn't bother him in the slightest, because when you spend time with the Lord, you none of that stuff seems to matter at all. I mean, and those things could be vanity anyway. They could be a man's idea of something, you know. But when you spend time, there is nothing greater than spending time with the Lord. And so when the devil tries to come and steal, I mean, he comes to steal our time. Three things. He comes to kill, come and steal, kill and destroy. I mean, that's his mode. I mean, that's all he knows. So he comes to steal our time. And if he can steal our time, he comes to steal our life. And if he can come and steal our life, he can come and steal our call, see? And our call is why we're here. I mean, that's why we were born, you know? It's like, yeah, you can look at all the physical things. I'm like, yeah, I was born because, you know, man and woman got together and da-da-da-da-da. No, you're born, you know, it's of God. I mean, only the Lord brings life, okay? They try to make life, they try to produce, they try to duplicate, and they still are, and they'll continue to try to duplicate an egg, make something. They can't take nothing, a seed. They can change it, you know, mix it with something else, but the world cannot create a seed. Those things are life, and God put that life in this earth, just like with us. I mean, we're his life. So the world tries to duplicate all that and tries to, you know, crone things and do all these things, you know, to try to become God, if you ask me. I mean, because they don't want to submit to something they cannot see or understand. If they can't understand it, they don't want to believe it, you know. I mean, that's how the world is. We know that. But you know what? In the days to come, we have the answers. And in the days to come, I mean, we definitely know when the Word talks about it. Perilous times are coming, folks, you know. But do we have anything to fear? No. No, 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 no. Fear is right out of the pit of hell. Believe me. It lived in me for years. And one day I decided, sitting on my couch, I said, "Fear, in the name of Jesus, get out." And the thing kicked me on the way out. So, I mean, I've known a life of fear before I came to know the Lord. Anything fearful to me doesn't make me afraid anymore whatsoever. Nothing. But I know where it comes from. I know where it comes from. Each and every time. So he comes to do these things. See, he comes to steal our time. Our time is the most precious thing we have in these short years that we're here. And you know what? We live in the greatest time of all the history of the world, and I truly, truly know that in myself. Not like, and you know what? And it wouldn't even matter if it went on to the next generation and I went home, but I won't change my ways on that no matter what. I mean, because that's how the Lord even talks to us. You know, we live in the greatest days of the history of the world. See, when the boys walked the earth, I'm talking about the apostles, when they walked the earth, you know, when they got born again, after Pentecost, when they got born again and stuff, they were, I mean, everything got opened up. I mean, they evangelized the world in a very short time, you know. So what do you think is going to happen this time around? Because see, what I see when I look across the church, you know, when I look at everybody, and I know, you know, all of you that are faithful to come, and some of you that are just coming now, I'm not trying to differentiate from one from another. Because if you're here, you're seeking God, you know, to the best of your ability. And we are, and it doesn't matter where we are, because see, to redeem the time, that's wonderful what's been going on with, you know, with Dave and all these guys. I mean, Gary, when he comes, I mean, they have this, you know, they're bringing the word, they're bringing the word back in truth, you know. So that's time redemption right there, because see, we can just go online and read and listen and or read, like Gary's got a lot of stuff that he writes out, and you can go and copy those and read them or just listen to the stuff. So time is redeemed by all these guys and whoever, by reading the word and not taking it out of context, doing the seven limbs again, like I said. And so we don't have to go through from the beginning to the end. We can just jump right in there and start listening and watching and get picked up right up, you know, get... That's how when the word says, you know, how can the last days, you know, the younger will just race to the front. Well, that's how they do it, see. Because the stuff is all out there, and they're just feeding themselves fat with it, you know. in its truth. It's time redemption taking place. And there is a reward for all that stuff too. And I'm not really looking for rewards, but there is rewards for all those things, see. And I know there is. I know for myself, when I hear the truth, I mean, you know what it's like, you know, and we all know it. When we hear the truth, doesn't it just, sparks something. It's like, yes, more truth. You know, yes, it's the lie's been revealed. The religious ways, the religious doctrine's been revealed once again. And here's what it really means. I mean, there ain't nothing better than that. You see, the word has to come back in truth for a revival to take place. The revivals in the past, they were great. A lot of signs and wonders and miracles took place, and the Lord did everything he could in each and every one of them that took place. But what happened to each and every one of them? They got stopped somehow, you know. People get busy and they stop praying. See, that's a dangerous place. So that's why waiting on the Lord, man, just waiting on the Lord. I've never been a real patient man, you know, waiting on things, because I like to get things done. So it's like, yeah, you know, I asked the Lord one time, it's like, well, Lord, you know, I don't really have much patience. You know, and I heard it just as plainly as day. He said, just wait. And I didn't understand what that meant, but he said, just wait on me, son. Just wait on me. I'll take care of all the other stuff. But especially someone like an entrepreneur, if he has money to give, it's really hard for him to wait on the Lord. If he has money to give, I mean, there's people with their hands out everywhere, correct? I mean, there is. And I'm not saying that any of those things wouldn't be a good place for that money to go. But if it isn't the place where the Lord wants it to go, well then, you know, it's kind of in vain again. And it's man's way again of stepping in there and saying, well, there's a need to meet, and I can meet that right now. Tim Hess, he had a definition of grace, which I thought was really good. It says, wait on the Lord, but be still, unmovable, waiting on the Lord to bring about the desired results. I mean, that's kind of what grace really is, if you're looking for a definition for it. Just once again, waiting on him. And for him to use these scriptures as foundational, you know, because like I said, Jesus was our perfect prototype. He didn't start his ministry till he was 30 years old. I mean, isn't that something? I mean, he was the Son of God. He was the only living being, I mean, alive inside on earth. And he was alive all those years too, man. But he didn't move out forward. He didn't move out quicker. And he had everything he had in him. I mean, look at what he did when he was 12 years old. Parents just kind of busy and took off and got down the road and was like, oh, geez, where's Jesus? We better go back and find him. And that's funny that happened, because that's happened to us. I come from a big, large family. I got 6 brothers and 6 sisters. And I've been left at church in different places before. And they go back home about 8 miles, and about 2 hours later, like, huh, where's Rex at? He's not here. And then they come back, and I was there hanging out with some people in town by the church or whatever. So it's kind of funny. I can kind of relate to that. But the Lord, his father, gave him a brief hour or whatever that was, you know, to, you know, and I mean, he has it in him. And he only says what his father tells him to say. And he did that when he was 12 also. It wasn't his own stuff, by the way, because he's our perfect prototype. And he did it that way then too. So what do you think happened after that? I mean, he was able to spend that hour, and he confused everybody. I mean, they were like, who is this young kid that is putting religion underfoot, really? and coming out with such truth, such doctrine. I mean, who is this? And then his parents came and found him, and they said, you know, Jesus, you know, what are you doing? And the Lord responds and says, well, you know, what are you looking for me for? I'm about my Father's business, you know. And he wasn't trying to be cocky about it. He was about his Father's business. He was doing what the Lord had given him when he got left behind. The Lord gave him an opportunity. So think what he had to have gone through after that. Don't you think he would have just loved to do that again? I mean, he's 12 years old, man. And he didn't do any miracles. He didn't do anything. He didn't pray for anybody until he became 30 years old. You know, that was all the way it was laid out to be, of course. But I'm speaking of the flesh, how hard it must have been for him to, you know, to not just jump ahead, you know. Say, well, Lord, I got this thing, Lord. I got this thing, Father, you know. But instead, he did what John 30 says. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and as my judgment is just, because his judgment comes from his Father, and it is just. It's not his own. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So that's how we can redeem the time. So him, that being said, and so we shouldn't be doing nothing on our own either, you know. And I know we do sometimes, and that's okay. I mean, repentance is a wonderful thing because it not only, you know, would lay that thing down, but, you know, true repentance is, you know, really not doing it again, not just saying, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, and then doing it again type of thing. But as we grow in the love of the Lord, our own will, our own self-will will vanish, you know, in the days ahead where, and that's what he's waiting on. He's waiting on a people that aren't going to be moved by the flesh, that aren't going to be moved by situations and circumstances. So when perilous times come, you know, we're going to be about our Father's business, see. I mean, that's what we're going to be doing. So we're not going to smell like smoke in the middle of it. We're not going to be touched. We're not going to be touched by the perilous times, folks. I mean, not saying that fear is not going to try to grip us, because it's a spirit, but you won't have nothing to grip. You don't have nothing to grip in me already, and I praise God for that all the time. And I don't take that into myself whatsoever, but I'm really not afraid, man. Haven't been for years. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, the flesh will never catch anything. The flesh can't really do too much. I mean, everything the flesh does is very short-lived. And there's a couple more scriptures I want to read. Let's see if I got them written down here. You can go to John 21. It's never too late. It's never over. It ain't over till it's over, folks. And the only way we ever lose, only way you can possibly lose is by forfeit, quitting, giving it up. You know, and being in the tribe of Judah, I'm going to say this before I get into the scripture. You know, I see people come and go, you know, just like we do here. You know, but, and it breaks my heart sometimes because, you know, if you see people and you love them. And they just kind of, situations and circumstances or whatever, take them out. But I'm truly believing in time, redemption is going to turn them back too, you know. But it hurts to see people leave, you know. So But like I said, the devil comes to steal our time, you know. And if we're not praying, and because of the level of accountability, that's why a lot of people aren't here, because our time gets stolen from us, you know. We don't even really realize it. And then he comes, then he'll steal our life, you know, which means stealing our call. And each and every one of us has a call. Each and every one of us has a magnificent, wonderful, precious, most important call to the Father. It may not look like it in the world to some of us, you know. We're not up here doing this or whatever. I don't really care about doing this. I like to be out in the streets. That's where I enjoy it. So I just, want to encourage you all. If I can give you anything, you know, I just want to give you some encouragement to let you know. And I'm not saying these things because pastor's preaching for 10 years and that's all I can speak out of my mouth, because that's all I've heard. No, it's much more than that. It's like Pastor Homer has said, it's because I've actually done. And it says, it is the, you know, now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat onto him, for he was naked. I don't think he was completely naked, but, you know, he threw a coat on and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. But as they were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon, and bread. Those weren't their fish. They were dragging their fish in, man. So the Lord's waiting for them. He let them go out and go fishing for the night. Didn't try to get their attention. Didn't try to stop them. But in the morning, he laid a tight table out of food for them, because he knew they were hungry. They fished all night, didn't have nothing to eat. And he says, bring the fishes which you have now caught. Because he wasn't going to waste a miracle either. I mean, that was a miracle that they fished all night, didn't catch nothing. And he said, cast the nets on the other side, and they caught 153 fish of more than the nets could have ever handled, and they didn't break. So that was a miracle all by itself, and the miracle of catching the fish. And the Lord just made sure, because see, he's not in a hurry to do things. He wasn't in a hurry. So, hey, come on, eat, the food's ready. He wasn't in a hurry. He said, hey, bring the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And then Jesus said to him, after they got their fish up, because he wasn't going to waste that miracle, so they got to sell those fish, whatever they needed to do with them. The Lord, you know, just blessed them. He's nothing but love, so that's all he does is love. And then he says, come dine with me. And none of the disciples did ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them the fish, and the fish likewise. And then it says here, like I said, now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself unto his disciples, and after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me thou more than these? He wasn't talking about the disciples. Do you love me more than the boys you're hanging out with? No, he was talking about the fishes. Because see, Peter was a fisherman, and that's all he knew. So he was asking Peter, it's like, Peter, do you love me more than your life? Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than what you can do in this world? Do you love me more than that, Peter? And Peter did a good job on his answer. He says, "Yea, Lord, you knowest that I do. I love thee." And then the Lord says something pretty amazing. He says, "Feed my sheep." Or feed my lambs, excuse me. Lambs are babies. You know, they're the young ones. They need to be nurtured. They need to be watched. They need to be taken care of, taught, you know. So what the Lord was doing here with Peter is he was showing him what his call is to be, see. Calling you away from being a fisherman. "Do you love me?" The Lord says, "Peter, do you love me more than these? More than your work, more than being a fisherman?" And he answered correctly. He answered well. He said, "Yes, yes, Lord, I do." And then in verse 16 it says, "He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me thou? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith to him, Feed my sheep." Now he's speaking of, you know, sheep are, you know, they're full grown. And I don't know if you know much about sheep, but sheep don't like to, they're ornery. They don't like to stay in a group. They like to just go out and do their own thing. They don't want to be messed with. So he says, "Well, feed my sheep." You know, and looking at it another way, it's a mature Christian. You're going to take care of the ones that are becoming mature? Are you going to take care of? He's calling him to be a shepherd. "Peter, I'm calling you to be a shepherd. You're not a fisherman no more, boy." And verse 17 says, "He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved at this time. He said he was grieved because he say unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." And then it says something here. Verse 18 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest." He walked wherever he wanted. He did whatever he wanted to do. "But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not go." So what the Lord was saying to him is like, "Peter, you say you love me. You're gonna fulfill your call, boy. You're not a fisherman no more. I'm calling you to be a shepherd. And you're gonna go places that you're not gonna want to go. And you're gonna do things that you really don't want to do. But do you love me?" And he did. So he was calling him into his call there, see. And then he told him the end of his life, you know. So Paul, you know, Peter's reward was to the end of his life. That's just like us, you see. So when we walk into our call, you know, when we do the things that we need to do, nothing can take it away from us, man. Nothing can take it away from us. We all have a call. And we all need to fulfill that call. I haven't even begun to fill mine yet. I'm supposed to. I won't say it that way. I am a gospel entrepreneur. Okay? I know that. I never wanted to receive that. I said to the Lord, "No," 100 times. I don't want to do it. But I am, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So everything else that I do is a wonderful thing for the Lord, but if I don't do that, I miss my call, you see. Because I know what it is. And it looks impossible in the natural. When I, with all the the natural things taking place to try to tell me, it's like, you can't do it, and if you even try again, I'll you know, I'll do this and this and this. It's like, I'll bring it on, I don't care. None of those things matter to me no more. They don't matter. What matters to me, and the reason I'm born and the reason you're born, is to fulfill our call in Jesus. And we're going to. So, hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for this time. And, Lord, I thank you for turning the lights back on. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered to me, really, but, Father, I just bless your holy name, and I want you to bless all these people here, Lord. And I want just to give such encouragement to each and every one of you, because we are in the promised land. We really are. We're not walking around in the wilderness no more. And some of us, you know, the wilderness was a 40-year time for people. But see, it doesn't have to be 40 times. My wilderness could have been 10 years. Yours could be 5 years, you see. But we're walking out of that now. We're not in the wilderness no more. So now he's going to define our time. He's going to define our call. And we're going to walk it out because, like I read in John 30, we're not going to do nothing of ourselves. We're not going to do nothing of ourselves. That's the only way. That's the time. That's the redeeming of time right there. We're not going to do nothing on ourselves. So the Lord says he can change things in an instant. In an instant. So if we try to judge one another for where one person is and where the next one is, if you're seeking God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, you're only two steps away anyway, okay? That's all you are. So don't, you know, oh, look at this one. He's way up there. Well, look at Dave. He spent 40 years. I'm only two steps behind him. Okay, so are you. And that's the truth. So guard your prayer time. Don't let the devil steal it no more. Guard it with your life. It is our life, you see. Everything needs to be prayed for through to happen. Just like get the lights turned on back here tonight. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, turn the lights on. And then I kind of blew it off. And the lights came on. I'm like, oh, geez, Lord. Ye of little faith. But see, we're going someplace. None of that stuff matters. I mean, it doesn't matter. What matters is what we learn from each and every situation that we've gone through, you know. That's what matters, see. And when I see people leave and I see, you know, and with it, other ministry I'm involved in, I see people leave and I see that and it hurts, you know. But it gives me more resolve and to know that, and you know the takeout, you know. The takeout is, if we're not changing and if we're not growing and if we're not spending time with the Lord, we can all be taken out. And you know what? The devil hangs his hat on that. He hangs his hat on that because he's done it before, you see. This generation really is the generation, and the one that's here behind us. We're going to usher in our king, man. I'll say that until, you know, I'll never change my testimony on that one. So we put ourselves aside a lot of times and we don't, you know, we haven't done, you know, haven't seen family, and my family doesn't live down here. So, you know, there's been, and I don't call that a sacrifice. That was a choice, choices. My life is not my own. I live here because this is where he put me. Because I could be in a lot of different places and I could be making a whole lot of money in different places. And I know that. But he has not told me to leave. So I kick the bucket, kick the cat, whatever, go through a little tantrum, and I settle myself back down and say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you, Daddy. I'm going to wait on you. I ain't going a fishing. I might for a little while, but I'm coming back. I ain't going a fishing. I ain't going to be like Peter. But what an example Peter was. I mean, he's one of us. He's one of the boys, you know. But see, the boys are back in town, and the girls. We're here, and we're going to usher some stuff in here, I'm telling you. The boys or girls are back in town. You guys know that song? Matt knows that song. So praise God. Well, thank you, Father. Thank you for this time. We just love you, Lord Jesus. We press on towards the mark. And it's all about your love, Lord God. More of you, less of us. For such a time as this, Lord. For such a time as this. We're going to see the greatest harvest the world ever seen, Lord God. And I am very, very privileged to be a part of it. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves unto you and we take hold of the things that we know to do. And we continue to do them. And do them in greater ways because perilous times are coming. So we will boost it up. Our prayer time is going to always be our most valuable thing that we carry. No matter when the millions or the thousands are getting born again, our prayer time will not leave us. So Holy Spirit, lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. And we love you. Amen.